This year's Preakness is long over, and the Triple Crown season was kind of a dud, but WIPR's Karen Hostler reports that Maryland's horse industry, both racing and recreational, has disproven its doubters and is charging to the head of the pack.
Welcome to the Yearling Show in Timonium, where year-old thoroughbreds strut their stuff before a judge who rates their likely racing success based on physical appearance. Who wouldn't be nervous about that? But maybe these youngsters sound so excited because this is a great time to be part of the horse industry in Maryland. The gloomy despair of just a few years ago has given way to an almost giddy optimism for the future, says longtime trainer Linda Gaudette.
We need an influx of money and horses and new owners, and I think we're on our way.
The money came from slots at off-track casinos beginning in 2010. It was used to boost prizes for racetrack winners. Bigger purses attracted better horses. Stiffer competition on the track fattened the betting handle, which grew by almost 20% last year alone. Meanwhile, the Stronach Group, a Canadian company that owns racetracks in Laurel and Pimlico, assigned two of its top managers to modernize the facilities, both in appearance and operation. With a promise to make horse racing cool again, Tim Ritvo and Sal Sinatra have spent more than $30 million on upgrades to Laurel Park and redesigned the racing schedule to favor spring, fall, and summer weekends instead of weekdays, often accessible only to retirees. Mike Pons, whose family owns breeding and training farms in Harford County, said the track operators are conducting a huge symphony.
But they're playing some sweet music.
Thus, the two tracks, which were losing $3 million a year when Ritvo and Sinatra arrived in late 2014, are expected to finish this year $5 million in the black. The fate of Pimlico, the 147-year-old home of the Preakness, remains unclear. It could cost more than $300 million to upgrade the creaky and outmoded structure. But in another sign of what Pons calls a renaissance of the broader state horse industry, Maryland facilities have made promising bids to host two other top-dollar equestrian contests. Laurel Park, with a plush new lounge, is campaigning for a turn at hosting the two-day Breeders' Cup Classic, a global thoroughbred competition that rivals the Triple Crown in rich returns. Meanwhile, Fairhill International in Elkton hopes to become the permanent home of a prestigious event that features show jumping, steeplechases, and cross-country races over a four-day competition. There's no gambling, but the event could attract lots of tourist dollars. Ross Petticord, executive director of the Maryland Horse Industry Board, said the two bids illustrate how various elements of the Maryland horse world are connected and collectively on the rise.
It's really quite wonderful. It's a huge, huge industry that permeates every part of the state of Maryland, from the Assateague ponies down on the Eastern Shore to these, we have three big trail riding stables in Garrett County, to everything in between.
But just 7 years ago, much of the local horse industry was suffering through what former Maryland Racing Commission Chairman Bruce Quaid calls the bad old days. After decades of decline, Maryland racing was nearly wiped out thanks to the arrival of slot machines at tracks in the neighboring states. With the extra money, those tracks were able to lure away the best horses, Quaid said.
The breeding program, that's been, for years, that's been one of the strong points of Maryland. And it had gone, the bottom had completely fell out. We lost 80% of our horses.
Maryland voters approved slots in 2008. But the company that owned the racetracks, also headed by Frank Stronach, was denied a permit because it failed to include licensing fees with its application. That turned out to be a lucky mistake. Maryland horse folks get a share of purses fattened with slots money, yet they have escaped the fate of tracks in other states that have been converted to racinos, where horse races are just background noise for casino gambling. At the time, though, the future looked as bleak and barren as the racetracks, where the small weekday crowds rarely left the clubhouse TVs, even when live horses were racing outside. Trainer Linda Gaudette said most everybody in the business fled to other states except those with strong Maryland ties.
Whether we were just stupid or, you know, whatever, we all kind of stuck it out, hoping that things would get better. We weren't sure they were going to get better because it got pretty gloomy there for a while.
Tensions were so high that the track owners, the breeders, and horsemen, as most others in the industry are called, took out their frustrations on each other. A key point of dispute was how many live racing days would be held each year. As chairman of the Maryland Racing Commission, Quaid helped to broker a 10-year peace agreement.
At the time, Maryland has seen its racing days decrease over the years. There was a lot of concern that those days kept going down and down. The Stronach Group was losing money. The horsemen weren't having as many days as they wanted. The purses weren't big enough. So the 10-year accord basically tried to rectify all of that.
By all accounts, the 2012 agreement has been a success. Of the 162 live racing days approved for this year, 150 are being held at Laurel Park, which has become virtually a year-round facility. Meanwhile, Quaid notes that a big challenge to making horse racing cool again is demographic.
One guy said the average age of a racing fan is dead.
That assessment was so dead on that Quaid said he was shocked during a recent visit to Laurel Park to find a hearty and relatively youthful crowd. He said he felt like he was in a time capsule.
It was like I just landed back in the 1970s when there was all kinds of people at the track betting, having a good time. It was eye-opening. It's what we were shooting for, but it was pretty darn nice to see it.
So far, at least, it looks like they've backed a winner. I'm Karen Hostler for 88.1 WYP.
Here's Dirtyfoot up on the outside, speeding up 4 or 5 wide, and one more great time in the speed mix as well. His 5 from the front into the far turn runs Zeke the Streak, and I'm here all day. And Street Copper is last. Dirtyfoot just blast away from the other speed. 3 furlongs left to go and open up 4 lengths to Dude. Picks up Old Time Revival from secondary, and it's Extra Wiseman down to the inside, dropping back a bit. One more great time, and out wide into the stretch is Cheese On, is getting interested for that final quarter mile. Cheese On swinging wide into the stretch. They make the turn for home. Cheese On the far outside. Cheese on, and one more time. Cheese on, solid victory. Cheese on.